Well, we've been looking at Destiny. This is session four on the specific area of Destiny, but we've also looked at our individual inheritance, the fact that we have an identity and a redemptive gift, and that leads us into our destiny. So it's who I am, my identity, how I'm made, my redemptive gift, and what I'm made for, my destiny, my birthright, the things that God has prepared for me. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knows us before we're even born, because we've come out of eternity with him. And before you were born, I consecrated you. So God had a purpose for us before we were born. And I have appointed you. Now for Jeremiah, he appointed him a prophet to the nations. But what's he appointed each of us for? We need to find out so that we can get on board with it. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book or scroll were all written the days that were ordained for me. So there is a scroll that's part of who we are that carries the record of everything that God intended us to be and everything that God intended us to do. It's not fate, because we get a choice whether we join in that or not. It's not predetermined from a point of view. It has to happen. But for us to enjoy the best thing we could possibly do in our lives and find total fulfillment in everything that we are and who we're called to be, then finding that plan and purpose is really, really important. And it goes on to say, when as yet there were not one of them, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. And it's really important that we get hold of how God thinks about us. Because if we agree with what God says about us, then we're on a good pathway to blessing. If we don't agree with what God said about us, then where else are we going to get the information from? What someone else has told us about ourselves? What we've got from the world around us? What we think? Well, the best plan is to get with what God thinks and line up with that. And last week we looked at that many people actually lost their destiny. Even though God assigned it for them, they lost it because of various things: disobedience, unbelief, lack of faith. We saw that Jacob chose financial security over his destiny, and that caused disaster, where he lost his wife, and his children ended up in all sorts of problems, and as a result of that, they ended up in Egypt as slaves for 400 years. We saw that Esau despised his destiny and gave no value to it, because he just wanted to do the things that he wanted to do. And we saw that Lot coveted Abraham's destiny, and we'll look a little bit more about that today. Some people just don't seem to fit. I don't know if you feel like that. I used to feel like that for a while. You just don't seem to fit. You don't know where you are, what you're doing. Everything doesn't seem to be right. Nothing seems to work out for you in your life. There always seems to be obstacles, roadblocks, mountains in the way. And you just don't seem to be able to get connected with anything. And a lot of people are like that. So they're asking the question, well, what is it all about? Why am I here? So why is it that some people can't get connected? Well, one of the big things is they don't know God. That will be the first thing. So it's very difficult to get connected without knowing God, who's created us and designed us. But there are other reasons why as well. What is going on when we just struggle to find out who we really are and what we're called to do? One cause is an alien destiny. Now, I'm not talking about little green men or little grey men in that sense. I'm talking about something that doesn't belong to you. From, you know, when in America, people are called aliens when they've come into the country and they're not allowed to be there. They're illegal. So there may be illegal things in our lives which are not designed for us, but they're there and they stop us. An alien birthright belongs to someone else. And it's in addition to or instead of our own. God did not intend it for us. It was not God's design, so it's come from somewhere else. And it always creates obstacles. It obstructs us, it hinders us, it trips us up, it blocks our path. Because we were never designed to walk on it. It causes frustration and confusion. Arthur Burke describes it like this. He describes that our life is like a field that we're called to cultivate and grow and develop. And it's like someone has planted in this field this immaculately engineered piece of train track right in the middle of it. Looks great, really well made, but actually doesn't go anywhere. It's designed for something else, but it's sat in the middle of our lives, and it becomes an obstacle and a hindrance because it's superimposed in our field and stops us fulfilling what God's called us to do. That can come generationally. In our past generations, can have an effect on us now, and also individually, things that we may have done that has caused that to take place. It can happen through occult involvement. In the past, in our bloodlines, there can be things that have been exchanged through blood, which have caused us to embrace something else. Masonic oaths and curses are a cause of having a wrong birthright. And because Masonic curses and oaths actually project onto future generations a whole lot of negative things. Fortune telling, tarot cards, tea leaves, looking for your destiny in a wrong source can create in us something which was never designed for us, because our enemy wants to obstruct us fulfilling what God's purpose is for our lives. So, and he'll do it whatever way he can. Any legal right that we give him or our generational line gives him, he'll take. Involvement in cults, let's go back a minute, can do that. Because a cult is designed to take away your individual identity and purpose and join you to a group identity and purpose. And when you embrace that, you lose yourself and become part of a one thing which actually can hinder and stop your birthright. People buy into a vision of a group can often lose their individual identity. Parents wanting another gender child is a big one. If a parent wanted a male and they got a female, or a female and they got a male, that whole negative thing about who you are can be effectively sown into your life at an early age. And it can make you feel, I don't fit, I don't belong, I don't seem to be needed or wanted. Parents wanting you to fulfill their unfulfilled dreams is another issue that can cause us to be pursuing something that's not what God designed for us. Parents wanting to force us into conforming to family traditional businesses. And you get generations of lawyers, doctors, other things, thieves as well, as a negative side, because they're forced into something that was never intended for them. And there's big issues around that. Where we were not content with our own destiny and didn't connect to it. Where we weren't satisfied with what God has put in our lives and we wanted something else can disconnect us. And in Christian circles, this can mean wanting someone else's anointing, someone else's mantle, someone else's gifts, someone else's position, rather than our own. And we can despise our own calling and yearn to be like somebody else. And if we do that, it can affect how we are in our own lives. When we covet what belongs to someone else because it looks more glamorous, visible, or offered more kudos with people, rather than being content with who God called us to be and doing what God wanted us to do, we desire somebody else's gift or position. How do we know if we have these things operating in our lives? Well, deep down, there is a yearning for something else. Wishes just feel unfulfilled, because deep down, underneath this thing that's been imposed on us, there is the real thing ready to come out. And we can know that something just isn't right, that it just doesn't fit. And there are a lot of people going around just not knowing who they are and why they're here. Something, a design that we're made, seems to fit better somewhere else, because it just doesn't seem right. Life is not fulfilling even with achievement. Even when you've achieved things that are good things, it just doesn't bring you any sort of sense of satisfaction. We can succeed in an area that's not designed for us, and it feels like mockery and vanity. And that's what Solomon said. Everything is vanity, because he didn't fulfill what God had really called him to do. An alien destiny causes a highly resistant obstacles within us to block what God wants us to do. Psalm 139 indicates that there's a timeline that God has for us that's designed for us to succeed in life if we stay on the right path and follow that line that God's prepared. So there are events, there are people, there are structures, there are assets and resources at certain points along that pathway to help facilitate our destiny. But if we're stuck on a piece of train track that doesn't go anywhere, we never encounter them. We never encounter the people and the relationships that are there to stimulate and stir us to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. We never encounter the things that God has prepared for us because we're off the track. God has ordered divine appointments to help us. And if we miss those divine appointments, we can miss out on what they would bring into our lives. And alien destiny causes us to run into the obstacles that have just infiltrated us and hindered us and obstructed us. And there are internal obstacles and external obstacles that we face. Now, anyone has heroes of the faith, people you've looked at in the Christian life and you thought, wow. Now, there's nothing wrong in that. But it can be wrong if you're desiring to be like them and that's not your destiny. Sometimes we're drawn to people because actually it resonates with who we really are and causes us to desire to pursue something in God like that. But actually sometimes it's just because we would like to be like them because we want to get out of our own situation because we don't fancy it. And God wants us to meet who we are and be inspired by those who will do that. The Christian, let's say the charismatic zoo, if you like, that people belong to, there are offers of mantles, impartation services, false prophetic readings, shortcuts to destiny. And a lot of people have embraced those things and taken on things which were never designed for them because some prophet said you should be doing this. And I know some people here who've had prophetic words over them that actually they did not resonate with. But then it causes a confusion. Oh, these prophetic people have said this, but inside I don't feel like that's what it is. And you can get confused and drawn. And there's so many people who are looking to impart things for the wrong reasons. Often it's because of laziness. We don't want to develop the character to deal with the issues because the price seems too high. So it's easier for someone else to lay hands on us and prophesy over us and tell us, hey, go and do this. Because we're just not willing to go and find it from God ourselves. Instead of being willing to pay the cost of unpacking that destiny, we look at something else which looks sparkly and is destined for someone else who has paid the price. Often people with great anointing have paid the price for their lives. But if they're offering it to us free of charge, then be aware. Nothing comes free of charge other than salvation in Christ. Everything else comes with a price tag. Be careful we don't are drawn to something which is a shortcut. Because we live in a society that's very instant and looks for self-gratification instantly. So if you get zapped by something that doesn't belong to you, it can create that track in us that is connected to nothing. And there are many people who prey on the lazy. Someone looking to get legitimacy for their own ministry by giving away things that don't fit our lives. And we need to be careful because there's a lot of that that goes on. The culture of the instant does not value and is not willing to pay the price for what God has put into us. Now, there is a legitimate laying on of hands. We pray for people here. We lay hands on people. The Holy Spirit talks about imparting gifts to us. Paul talks about imparting gifts. Those things are to impart stuff into us to help us be who we are, not actually tell us who we are. Because God will tell us who we are, and it will already be in our hearts to encourage us to release our own destiny. So if we're constantly tripping over other tracks, then we need to ask the question, have I pursued or lusted after something else which doesn't belong to me? If you have, if you feel your generational line has, then repent. Turn from it, renounce it, get some deliverance from that alien part that's on our inside. Ask the question, who did this? Did I do it? Did someone else do that to me? Did a past generational thing, is it involved in my life now? As an example of this in the Bible is Lot. Lot's destiny was never going to be in Canaan. because Abraham was told to leave all his family behind. So his destiny couldn't have been in Canaan unless God told him directly to go there. Lot's destiny was in Ur or Haran or some other place. He wanted part of Abraham's destiny, so he tagged along. And as a result of that, he prospered on the back of Abraham's blessing. He multiplied in his flocks and different things. So everything seemed to be okay, until it came to the fact that they began to squabble over the land. And it wasn't Abraham and Lot, it was his servants who squabbled. But they began to squabble, and as a result of that, Abraham offered Lot the choice to take the best, and he did. Took the best of the land. But what happened? He ended up living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He loses his wife, who turns into a pillar of salt. And as a result of that, his children seduced him, and he had incest, and had created two races, Moab and Ammon, who were aliens and who were enemies of Israel in the future. All because he wasn't in the right place. Because he was chasing after someone else's birthright, which actually caused a huge problem and mess. We've got to be really careful that we pursue what God's given us and not something else. Now, another issue about destiny, no one said it would be easy. If they did, they were lying. If someone told you the Christian life and fulfilling your purpose would be an easy thing, then they were selling you something which was an illusion. It's not easy. It was never intended to be easy. Genesis 1:28, when God blessed Adam and Eve, he said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." In other words, overcome it. So there was something there that they would, in their destiny, that was something that they had to overcome, they had to deal with. And it's always like that. James 1:2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Now, that's what it says. How many people find it easy to do that? To consider it joy when I get an obstacle or a problem, when something comes up against me? Well, it's our attitude to it that counts. If we see every obstacle as an opportunity, then we can grow. If we see every obstacle as a problem, then we'll be hindered and stopped. So what does it say? Verse 3, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." How many people want testing? I don't see many hands. How many people want endurance? Serve some more hands, because this is what happens. "Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." How many of you want to be mature, complete, lacking in nothing? Yeah, lots of hands. Well, you actually need the testing and the trials to produce the endurance that brings it. Because we're supposed to grow through those things. Every battle on the pathway of our destiny was designed to create a dependence and intimacy with God. Because we're not supposed to be able to overcome it on our own. We're not supposed to be able to do it independent of God. It shows that we need him. When we look at this obstacle, which seems impossible, then we look at God, who's the God of the impossible, and the obstacle changes. If we keep looking at the obstacle, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until we feel hopeless and helpless and in despair, which is what happens when you look at obstacles. When you look at solutions, you get hope. And when you get hope, then faith can arise. And then nothing is impossible. Because Jesus said we can speak to obstacles and tell them to move. When we have hope and faith in our hearts. See, Jesus has been there and done it. He knows what it is to face obstacles, as others do. Avoiding the battles and the conflicts and the trials and tribulations hinders our maturity. And there are a lot of very immature Christians because we've been told it was going to be easy and we don't like it hard. Well, we need to get over it. And get over ourselves, face the truth, and repent, as a famous person said. Because God has designed these things to help us grow and mature. Because we are called overcomers, more than conquerors. That is our destiny. We were supposed to bring the garden filled with God's presence and connected to heaven, to the rest of the planet, and to the rest of the universe. That was always God's intention, but because they followed the wrong pathway, they ended up off the track and fulfilling something that was never designed for them. There was always designed to be fruitfulness and blessing. And what did they have? Ground that they had to struggle to cultivate, because they got out of God's blessing and had to do it in their own strength, because that was the path that was chosen. Jesus came to get us back on the right path. We're cheating ourselves of experiential intimacy and growth and transformation if we try and avoid those things. So let's embrace those things, grow and overcome through them. See, God gives us a vision, but we don't get to see the whole of it, because God usually gives us the first couple of steps. Like, here's a vision for Abraham. Leave everything behind and I'll show you where to go. Well, that takes a big step of faith to say, I'm going to trust God to leave everything behind and take a pathway where I don't know where it's going. But God wants us to trust him because he knows best. And so we need to pursue him for more revelation, because it's about a relationship. The pathway that we have been called to follow is a pathway of relationship, designed for us to know God, and in knowing God, for him to reveal where we're going to need to go. God often gives us an encounter to attract our attention. But is it going to continue to get our attention, or are we going to stray off and get distracted and look for other things? He wants to introduce us to the path. But there's often initial opposition. How many people, when God has told them to do something, others have tried to poo-poo it, put them off? Quite often it happens. Often there's family opposition. And we'll look at a couple of stories. But we need to press through to overcome those oppositions. Don't let them hinder you. Don't let someone else's negative words stop you fulfilling your destiny. See, Adam lost his inheritance, but God had another plan. It's the same plan to bring it back. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, talking to Satan. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. That was the first prophetic declaration of the coming of Jesus. He was going to come to deal with what Satan had done. But along the way, there was a battle, enmity, strife, a battle between the two different pathways that were contending for people's lives. And those that listened to God and chose to be obedient were those who were the heroes of the faith. And you can read in Hebrews 11 a whole list of them, who heard something in God, maybe never actually saw the final fulfillment, and they are the cloud of witnesses in heaven now, waiting and looking to cheer us on and get involved in passing the baton to us, a generation that can fulfill those things. The promise of restoration would come, but there was conflict involved. Abraham, a journey to his inheritance. God didn't just transport him into the promised land and it was empty. He took him there on a journey, and on the journey he learnt to trust God, to be obedient, even to the point where he had to sacrifice his own son, because God was going to sacrifice his own son. Jacob, we saw last week how Jacob lost his inheritance and spent 400 years, his whole family, in slavery in Egypt. Then they journeyed in the wilderness towards the promised land where their inheritance can be fulfilled. And then the promised land needed to be conquered. It was full of giants. The Nephilim races, who were there to stop them fulfilling God's purposes, but they were given divine strategy to be able to overcome whatever obstacle there was. Where are you? You in Egypt? In slavery? Are you in the wilderness wandering around? Or are you in the promised land fighting to get your inheritance and take possession of it? See, look at some great biblical characters. David, a king. But first of all, family opposition. He was the littlest in the family, and they didn't think that he should have been king. So when Samuel came to anoint him as king, they weren't very impressed, because it should have been the eldest who was king, but God chose him. Then he had to fight a giant. Then he had a king who was trying to kill him. Then he lived in a cave with a bunch of oddballs. Reminds me of church somewhat. Then the Philistines were trying to steal everything and took his family. He had opposition, but he ended up establishing an awesome great kingdom because he knew God. And in the New Testament, it said that he is a man after God's own heart, and he fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. You know, I would like that to be the epitaph of every single person here, that we fulfilled the purpose of God in our generation. Jesus didn't start off too well. Illegitimate. Herod tried to kill him and wiped out a whole generation. Satan tried to tempt him. The religious and the politicians and everyone else opposed him. Even his own family thought he was mad. The disciples even left him. And in the garden, he gets this, faced with what he was going to go through, he sweated great drops of blood because of the intensity of what he was going to go through. And yet, he didn't give up. We have to be willing to fight for our destiny. Joseph, it's a great story. He had this wonderful vision, and we get Joseph and the, you know, multicolored dream coat musical that's from his story. But his family did not react too well of being told that, again, one of the youngest, they were going to have to bow down to. So they reacted against daddy's pet. His dad even reacted angrily when of the notion that he had to bow down to his little son. But he believed that vision, and it all went downhill. He was betrayed by his own family, thrown in a pit to die, then sold into slavery in Egypt. He goes into Egypt, the favor of God's on him, and then he's accused falsely by the woman of the house, and he gets put in prison. In prison, he does great things, and people forgot him and let him down. You think, what a mess. Joseph had a coat of many colours, a double portion of blessing. Then he lost it. It was actually ripped off him. Then he was given some new clothes because he was faithful. And then they were removed from him. And you read the story. They ripped the coat off him, and that was used as evidence against him. Then he's in prison, faithful, and he's abandoned and forgotten. Now, a lot of people were given up. This surely can't be my destiny. That dream couldn't have been from God. But he didn't. What was Joseph's attitude? It was a good, positive attitude because he continued to believe in spite of the negative. Is he reduced to making the best of a bad situation? No, he wasn't. Because he knew that God's plan was still alive and well. He didn't give up on it. And the reality was, for his destiny, which was to rule, to bring to fulfillment, he had to get out of his father's house. Because he would have never learnt to rule there. So God removed him to train him to rule. The problem was, he was pretty green and pretty naive. So there was a lot of maturity that needed to take place. He needed the prison experience to teach him about people and life. The animosity, the political things, the jealousy. He became streetwise. The prison was his prep school and the fast track to his destiny. Let's not avoid the things that can transform us and change us. We need to, in God, know what is the enemy, and we need to know what is God. What is God using to transform us? Let's not avoid those things. Because he could have let those things that happened to him rob him of his dreams. But he used those as a springboard. And then what happened? He got a brand new set of clothes. Second in command in the whole of Egypt. And guess what? All his family had to come and bow down before him, including his father. Because he fulfilled that dream. And what did he do? He saved a whole load of nations who would have died in the famine if he hadn't have heard God and obeyed God and did what God wanted him to do. He didn't sulk. He used, even in the difficult situations, his gifts to bless people. He didn't hold things against people either. He forgave them. He forgave his family because he saw the bigger purpose and he saw the bigger picture and he saw that God was in it all. God's plan was fulfilled in his life. Will God's plan be fulfilled in our lives? Are we willing to follow the destiny that God's prepared for us? Now, this is an interesting name. Zelophehad had five daughters. And he was a guy in children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt and coming into the desert. Five daughters. In that culture, only the men could inherit land. Didn't seem very fair, but that was what the rules were. Numbers 27:4. Why should the name of our God, our father, be withdrawn from among his family because he had no sons? Give us a possession among our father's brothers. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. Now these women weren't prepared to give up on what they thought was an injustice and unrighteous situation, even though it seemed to be the law. So what did they do? Well, they took their case to Moses to a higher level of authority. And there are things in our lives which are there to restrict us. They may be cultural, they may be gender related, they may be other things that have suppressed and put people down. We need to start appealing to a higher authority, the authority that comes in heaven. Those girls were not content with the status quo. And it's like there may be lots of things which seem to be in opposition to us fulfilling our destiny. Don't let them stop you. What they saw in the law was not the whole picture. God's heart is bigger than what is often currently revealed. Because God is greater than anything we can put him in. He can't be put in a box. Even the Bible is not a box. It is a story that reveals who he is. It doesn't tell us everything he does. It's so much more. So let's go to a higher authority. They took it to Moses and Moses took it to God. And guess what? God respected their case and changed the law. Numbers 27:6. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, the daughters of Zelophehad are right in their statements. You shall surely give them a hereditary possession among their father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their father to them. Further, you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a man dies and is no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter. Their determination to have righteousness and justice changed the law. It changed it for all future generations. You possessing something that belongs to you can have consequences that are way beyond what you personally can see. So go for it. Don't be held back. Go for what God wants you to have. Another story is the story of Esther, seemingly on the fast track to nowhere. Little girl, orphaned, kidnapped, taken to a harem, separated from her family, from her uncle, had no dialogue with anyone, went through a whole year of purification to spend the rest of her life in what? Futility. Being a slave to the king of his whims. God had other ideas. And this is what her uncle said. Esther, you have come to your royal position for a time such as this. God is saying the same thing to each of us today. You have come to your royal position as sons of God, as royalty, for a time such as this, for the kingdom at this time. And she saved the whole nation just because she was willing to step out in obedience and go and see the king, in spite of going against all the cultural laws that you couldn't go to see the king until you're called. She went anyway. And the favor of God was on her, and basically she saved the whole nation. It's like you just do not know the significance of your destiny, what it might be in the purpose and plans of God that has consequences for our nation, our region, the world, whatever. Don't think of yourself little. God has a purpose for you, and that purpose will enable you to change things and transform things and be an agent for change, to be world changers. You know, we sing that song of the anthem about the last thing is, look, we are royalty. We're going to change the world. Well, we won't change the world with someone else's destiny. We won't change the world if you don't believe that you can, that who you are in God. But when we believe God, we can change the world. Let's be willing to be transformed, come into maturity, so that we can embrace the fullness of who we are and fulfill everything that God's got for us. Don't be hindered and restricted. If the law says you can't do it, then be prepared to see the law changed. Wilberforce was against slavery. The law said slavery was okay. He fought for his whole life. His whole life's mission was to get slavery changed. And he did. And as a result, our nation was changed and transformed and blessed. Whereas other nations who did not pass those laws were not blessed and ended up in civil war and in other things. Because they didn't have someone like Wilberforce who was willing to fulfill his destiny and change a nation. We're all called to be nation changers. We can do it one person at a time, one situation at a time, but we're called to be fulfilling our destiny in the purposes of God. I'm going to leave it there, but I would encourage you, don't give up. Press on and receive everything that belongs to you. As we've been worshipping, I can see the heavens open over us, and there's this amazing waterfall cascading out of heaven into this room. It's the sound of many waters, the voice of God. It contains the highest frequency that we can hear and above into the ultrasonic frequencies. It contains subsonic frequencies. It contains all the frequencies. It's the deep calling out to deep from the sound of the waterfall, God's glory and presence that's pouring out of heaven right now. And as we stand under it, I'd encourage you, just by faith, stand under the waterfall of God's glory that contains the sound of his voice, that will call you back into your destiny, that will begin to resonate with every fiber of your being, bringing you back into heavenly alignment. As you stand under that waterfall, let it cascade down over you. Hear, let your spirit hear the sound of many waters speaking to you. Let your spirit hear the voice of God calling you back into destiny, calling you back into your eternal purpose, calling you back into sonship, calling you out of slavery, calling you out of Egypt, calling you out of the wilderness, calling you to come into his presence as you lay everything down by stepping under the waterfall of his voice. Let the sound of many waters, let the deep things that are buried within your heart, let them be reached by the deep things, the vast sum of the thoughts that God has for you. Let them touch you. And let your whole being begin to resonate and come into agreement and harmony with your eternal purpose. Just stand. By faith, take a step and stand under the waterfall of God's glorious presence as it cascades out of heaven. Let it touch you at your innermost being. Let it touch you. If you've never experienced the love of God, the awesome presence of his peace and joy, surrender yourself to him. Step into his presence and feel the acceptance and the love. Feel the affirmation of who you are. Feel the call to your destiny. Feel how he calls to you. He calls your name. Your name is sounded within the sounds of many waters. Your name is called. And you're called back to your eternal purpose. Follow the sound. Follow the call. Accept your destiny. open up your hearts and allow the life of God to flow into you, to transform you and to change you. Let's just stand, allowing that cascading sense of His presence to wash over us. Let it cleanse you. Let it wipe out your past and give you a new future. Just embrace your destiny today. Embrace who you are as a son of God, a royal son with a destiny to rule in the heavens and administer the kingdom on earth. To stand under the sound of His many waters, deep calling out to deep, deep calling out to you, calling you, calling you, wooing you. Surrender and stand by faith. Stand under that waterfall. Just allow every fiber of your being to come back into resonant harmony with His presence, His will and His purpose for your life. Heaven is here. Step into that cloud of His presence. See His glory. See His glory. Feel His glory. Feel His presence. Let it envelop you like that cloud.